information from around the nation. It's the 411. We're sharing care. What a way to make your day.
Of Westwood Baptist Church University Center, and I enjoy listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay, my favorite talk show host.
I love you too. Good morning, good morning, Lady Eloise. Now, do I see some sun? Hark. Yes. Yep. Glad to see you. Welcome, sun. You're welcome. Welcome. Come on in as well. Oh, what a cold and rainy week, you know?
Yeah, I know.
Ooh.
Sleeted on. Flurries was on Friday.
Did you see flurries?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't see them. Of course, I wasn't looking either. Yeah, I didn't see them. It must have been, was it early or later when you saw them?
About 11 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. It was?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, it didn't do that here when we were there. You must live in the country. Just kidding. Anyway, I don't know, this week is looking, you know, very nice, and chances of rain are back. I don't know, to get optimistic, we want to know when can we put our stuff out, plant, and do all that kind of stuff, without having to worry about, you know, covering things up. I hope this is it, and our last snap. For a long time. It's cold though to me this morning, but I'll talk about that in a second. This is the 411 Shows Women at the Cross broadcast, the annual broadcast of as we head into Holy Week, Palm Sunday, and the women. I've focused for years and years on the broadcast, on the women in Jesus' ministry, because frankly I wasn't hearing anybody else talk about it, and so I created that long time ago on this show so we could spend some time on that topic, so the folks that were faithful over some things get to know just a little bit about them and why Jesus felt their work in his ministry was so significant, and there's a message in that for women, and hopefully that will come across today. This first church announcements are coming in a second, but it's Reverend Geneva Hall of Good News Fellowship, and this is her first time being on the Women of the Cross, and Reverend Dr. Erica Barr of Life Church International. And Pastor Hall was, she had 1,000 questions. And most people do that I interview for the first time. And then they say, I'm the coolest host on the planet. Then they're cool with that. They're okay, she's cool. And everything is fine. But we'll be happy to hear from them here shortly. How was your weekend?
It was excellent. And yours?
It didn't last long enough. I say that every week. Yeah. It's true. It's true. It was just a day of absolute nothingness.
Yeah.
You know? And that's, you know, was okay with me. I made good coffee today.
Oh, yeah?
I hate to pat myself on the back, you know.
You got the measurement just right.
I think I came up with the formula.
Okay.
Yes, I do. I was like, that is good and everything. Maybe because it's warm.
Okay.
It's cold.
Yeah.
But it looks so deceiving outside and everything. Kids had their Easter egg hunts yesterday. Certain places had.
Okay, they started early, huh?
Well, Easter egg hunts are always on Palm Sunday.
Oh, really?
The weekend, yeah.
Okay.
When have you been doing yours?
I don't know. I just did them. I thought it was right before Easter.
Well, I mean, I guess it's up to each individual, but a lot of times, you know, the church...
Like the Friday or Saturday before? That's what I thought.
Oh, the Saturday.
Saturday, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I think Senator Harper used to do one.
Yes, he did, for the community, right?
Yeah. And everything. A lot of people may be traveling next weekend, you know, for that Easter holiday, maybe.
I believe they are.
Yeah, so...
It's about to be a lot. It's about to be traveling season like none before this year.
Well, and but, you know, maybe people won't be going far because of the price of gas. You know.
That is going to play a factor in some of it.
Well, if you circle around Nashville, you're broke. I mean, you know, you ain't going to leave town. But I haven't tried to do anything extra.
Yeah.
You know, go from point A to point B and then... You know, no, this or that. No, that's how I can cancel that. I'm not going to that. I'm not going to that. Conserving, you know. And, you know, it is what it is. I haven't been a baller anyway, so, you know. That's not in my wheelhouse. I'm too regular, plain old sister girl to be a baller. I don't know. I just couldn't do it. It conjures up a lot of stuff in my head, you know. Sharon Kay, that coffee's good, girl. Thank you, Sharon Kay. I have to show you exactly where the measurement was on the thing. Okay, I have to show you exactly where it was. I tried something a little different today. And the water flow up, but, you know,
just...
You know,
just right amount of water?
Yeah, I think it was. Anyway, church announcement's coming. Now, for those of you that haven't realized it yet, and apparently some of you all have not, but this happens all the time in the spring fund drive. You're slow bringing in your tax-deductible donations this month. At the beginning of the month, and then we start hearing from more of you all on after the 15th. And I understand the rationale behind that for those that do it. And this April that we're in right now is Jazz Appreciation Month. It's also the station's birthday month. So our birthday bucks this year, $49. And please try to get your birthday bucks in so you can be in the birthday roll call. And your tax-deductible donation supports the services at the station. And, you know, we have some things we're getting ready to do in production that are important to the quality of our production sound. And much needed. And just a few things of that nature. And when people come to the station, they're very surprised by the aesthetic, the look. And, you know, because it's not a dump. It's not. And they're very, very impressed with the fact that the community cared enough to give to help us get these pieces in here and put this place together like it's supposed to look. And I'm not talking about used basement from Vanderbilt or wherever. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the things that make it look like a real community station that our loving community cares about. And not broke down and raggedy and all that. And it's because when I hear the story, particularly people that don't know the station's long and interesting history, that it's had to go through so much unbelievable stuff. And as I've been working on the station history, I gotta be careful I don't eke out my details so people won't try to repeat them back to me. As if I didn't just tell you. You heard that from me, because I know you didn't know that. But, and X, don't you be eking out nothing either, you hear me? Because I know sometimes you get happy. But having said that, the station has endured and persevered. I know perseverance is the word. Supreme Court Justice to be Kanji Brown Jackson, she really put that in emphasis and perseverance in her presentations, and perseverance is the word. It also describes WFSK over the years, 49 years, and as a tribute to the community. Having a place for you all to see when you come up, you win music. We have a lot of music winners come Friday. X, a lot of them.
A lot?
Uh-huh, oh, seriously, wow. Yeah. They must have felt like it was some tied up to the pickup.
Okay.
Yeah, and I saw folks I hadn't seen in a minute, and they were all glad to see it, you know, come up and say hey. But as you come to the station, when you pick up your things that you win, or to bring your tax-deductible donation, you'll notice that the station is always trying to keep it tight and crisp and, you know, looking decent, because we representing you. Now, you know how you like to be represented. Okay. You know you like to be tight and right out there. So, you know. But your tax-deductible donations help us keep the station going. They help us keep a licensed engineer, which is a legal issue for the station. They help us pay the music licensing fees so we can play all this music up here. They help us, you know, just with stabilization of all the things that we do. So everything that we have is as a result of you, the donors, and the sponsors, and the underwriters. Thank you in advance, and please continue to work on getting your tax-deductible donations in. Additionally, we always have options for you. You can go online to WFSKFM.org and click on wherever it says donate, and you can listen and to the station while you're donating. It doesn't matter, because we're here for you 24/7. You can, because I have check writers, and I know you all that like to do that. Make your checks payable to WFSK, and if you would just put the station's name even on the envelope, sometimes it helps for it to get here. Instead of you just say Fisk, then it might not get directly here. And you put the station's name on the check, on the envelope, and then it gets directly to us. And in addition to that, you can drop off your donation. Got plenty of receipt books up here. And or you can do as we have some that do. They are have the option of a monthly gift, a quarterly gift, or a semi-annual. And if you tell us that that's what you want to do, of course, we'll be happy to get that, help you get that set up. And then it comes out a little bit at a time. And you stack those up over 12 months, you know you're doing something significant. So please consider those options this month to help the station to stay strong on behalf of you, Nashville. This station is not about New York, L.A., Florida, or Georgia. It's about Nashville. So let's hold the banner high here at WFSK on the historic campus of Fisk University. Church announcements. One quick one, and then we're going to hear from Bishop Joseph Walker on his 30th anniversary and get some reflections from him. This weekend has been the 100th anniversary celebration of Greater Christ Temple Apostolic Church. And also, they've been also celebrating the 40-year and pastoral anniversary of their pastor, and that's Bishop Sherman Merritt Sr. and Lady Vera Merritt. So they have two celebrations going on together there. There was one they had yesterday, and then there's one today at 11:15. And the speaker is James Nelson Sr. of Baltimore. And then they're going to have a 5 o'clock speaker, Bishop Lambert Gates of Indianapolis, Indiana. And the both of the services are held at the House of God Church, Keith Dominion, on Hyman Street, 2717 Hyman. And thank you to Catherine Morrison for sending that church announcement in, and congratulations to the church and your 100 years in the community, and Bishop Merritt for his 40 years. Now let me check in with Bishop Walker, and I haven't talked to him in a minute, and see what's up. It is just an absolute joy beyond measure to see people. You know, you haven't seen in a long time, and they are still standing strong and doing great things. I'm happy to have on the station the legendary Bishop Joseph Warren Walker III. And very few people do your whole name. Do they still do your whole name,
still,
Bishop?
Still do it.
And to see you face to face and not on a video screen or this or that is just really a pure joy. And I'm grateful for your presence.
It is so good to see you. It is, you are the real legend, and your contribution to this station and to radio everywhere. It's just been, you know, second to none, and it's just a delight to be back at Fisk.
Well, you have a big, you know, every time I think about the fact that you're celebrating 30 years of ministry at Mount Zion, I have to look at you and say, you're not old enough. What were you, two or something?
Know,
you
know? Right?
You are not old enough.
Oh, gosh, yeah, I was called very young. Yeah, God blessed me very young to lead Mount Zion Church when I got to Nashville.
And, how old were you?
I was 24.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I was 24, first church, and I've been there ever since.
So now let's set the scene for me. 24, blazing for Jesus. I know you were burning bush. I know you were.
Yeah.
And you got this assignment in Nashville,
yeah,
to come and get this church off the ground.
How about that? Yeah, yeah. Literally, I was up here at Vanderbilt Divinity School and was serving at the Mount Zion Church down on Jefferson Street, and God opened up that opportunity for me to pastor in 1992.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, 175 members then, and God has just blessed Mount Zion to go to over 30,000 in three locations and reaching a global audience. And so it's just been an humbling thing. I'm reflecting on it now, and
yeah,
it's just incredibly humbling to see what God has done, you know?
Yeah. Well, and the energy that you brought at Nashville had to be different at that particular time.
Yeah, Nashville, you know, was not the Nashville we know now.
Yeah.
It wasn't as progressive as it is now, and so it was really an interesting time because we were, you know, you know, as Gladwell says in his book, we were outliers. You know, we were out of the box, trying to think outside of things that were trying to incarcerate us into certain ways of thinking about,
yeah,
church and what,
yeah,
the church could be. And so we were reaching the college campuses and feeding the students, you know that,
you were,
and bussing them in. And that's really where it kind of began. And
yeah,
that's how we got that energy and that flavor in our ministry. And the rest is history.
Besides God's favor, do you think the... as I think back, because, you know, I've been on the air the whole time that, and more, that you have, you all burst onto the scenes, like, who are these cats, you know, because you had your old established ministers here in the city,
right,
and then we had the young guns, the young preachers that came, and you were part of something was being ushered in the body. What do you think that was?
Yeah, I think it was an interesting time in the kingdom generally. You know, you're talking about the early 90s where people people were at a point now. This is really the advent of where you saw Carlton Pearson with Azusa and Homer, Bishop Paul Morton with Full Gospel in New Orleans. And so people were really moving beyond denominational constraints. And they were really trying to get to a place where they could experience the power of God with freedom.
Yeah.
And that's what we tapped into, just the glory of God, the power of God, and more importantly, teaching the Word of God, flat foot teaching. We spent a lot of time focused on Bible study, and our 12-noon Bible study just, you know, took over the city in terms of just people being focused and coming on lunch and just getting the Word of God. And that's really where it was for me, teaching people, and allowing them to come into an experience of God's presence for themselves.
And over that time, I know that some students have grown up and maybe gotten married and stayed or whatever, but there's still some core issues that Christians were dealing with then as they are now. What was some of that?
Wow. Oof, where do I start with that? I think, you know, people were, you know, clearly, you know, struggling, but that was social issues back then as well.
Sure.
Christians, and what's the church role in addressing those social issues that we saw back then, that we see them now today? You know, obviously there's no shortage of those issues that we have to confront and deal with. I think there were, you know, issues of,
such as violence, drugs,
and,
family issues,
not just
what?
It was, you know, social injustice around, you know, the administration of justice in terms of policing, in terms of sentencing, in terms of those kinds of things.
Sure.
And obviously 37208 zip code, as you know, it's the most incarcerated zip code in the United States. And of course, our church sits at the epicenter of that. So we were seeing that and trying to work through that early on with the ministry we call, you know, from the prison to the palace, to really help, you know, curb this idea of people having to be re-entered back into the system with the courts. And so that was a real issue. What role do we play in the social injustices? And of course, the National had a great history of that, right?
Yes,
Kevin
it
Smith,
is.
Yeah. You know, James Lawson and others, and here at this campus, a lot of stuff that happened in that. So we never lost sight of that. And that, what we see today, the new energy around Black Lives Matter, the new energy around what's going on in social spaces, you know, we feel the need to partner with those folks and help make a difference.
Well, and knowing that you spent time there generationally with them, and some of the same issues that you're dealing with all these years later, lessons learned, what were they?
You know, one is you cannot do it solo. The power of collaboration is key. You have to work together, and you have to put aside your differences politically and ideologically to get things done. The enemy's tactic is always to divide and conquer.
Yes.
So divide us, it'll conquer us.
Yes.
When we come together, we are a united front. And then also I learned the importance of our civic responsibility, educating people around voting, helping people understand you got to get to the poll. We can holler and scream and in the street, but if we don't go vote, none of it matters. So,
was that part of your initiatives that you did when you got to Mount Zion?
It was. Okay. Absolutely. It was very much part of our initiative. We worked with the NAACP on that. We had a lot of voter drives. People actually, when they joined our church, we gave them a voter registration card.
Okay.
Very important to do that.
And to this day, is it still going strong?
Whew, is it ever. Yes, Lord. Yes. I'm beyond certain that over 95% of the folks who say they go to Mount Zion are registered voters.
That's beautiful. So is it, do you all have your own souls to the polls type thing where, what do you do?
Yeah, you know, we simply, first of all, we have an information campaign where we basically let people, you know that on the website we have a space where they can go and learn about, a link where they can learn about all the candidates.
Sure.
You know, we have a ministry called Psalms, which is our political social action ministry, where they are very engaged in the issues, and we've hosted town halls with candidates. We've, you know, been able to bring them to our church. Because our thing is, anybody can come to our church on a Sunday and say, vote for me. We want to bring you to
that's
a place
true.
Where you can, you know, ask questions and find out what your position is. And so we've been able to do that. So that's just a variety of things that we've done.
And you started at 175 people. What was the demo then? More female, male age group? What you
think? It was actually, it was about 60-40 female to male, and the demographic of that was probably about over 50, was probably about 80% over 50.
Now here you come, a young fireball.
They're
like, who is this brother? Somebody in the aisles or in the pews had to say that. Who is this brother?
Mount Zion really, you know, believed in the God in me, gave me a shot, and we began to draw younger people to the congregation, but I never forgot the old landmark. I never forgot. That's the key, right? Because the sustainability of any organization, particularly ministry, is be relevant, be innovative, but don't forget the landmark. Don't forget the foundation. And so Mount Zion has grown, but it's been and healthy growth because we brought those folks along with us and honored them.
And the neighborhood. I know, that's a whole nother 37208 discussion right there. Can you speak on that? Because you've seen it over the years, 30 and plus.
Every time I walk down Jefferson Street and you know, I have a chance to just reminisce. I think about what used to be there, and I think about how the community was, and now I see the gentrification. I see the homes going up in every crevice, yeah. And I'm often wondering about those precious grandmothers and those generational blessings that were supposed to be passed down from one generation to the next.
That
basically they took the money and, you know, and left that community. But I think, you know, for the good of it all, I think that Nashville deserves a level of growth and expansion, and I think it needs to be balanced, though. I think that's why, for us, it was incredibly important not to sell out in terms of our property across Jefferson Street,
because
we plan on to do something huge that's going to be an economic force for our community. Yeah.
And, you know, I'm sure that the founding families and members of Mount Zion are glad that they still, the landmark is still there.
Oh, gotcha.
The old Ship of Zion.
Mm-hmm.
And because you still have various services there, too.
Yeah, on Jefferson Street, yeah. Even though we have three locations, our Sunday service is at 8:15 a.m., and we have a great cloud of witnesses that show up.
Yeah.
Yes, Lord.
And you minister to, because it's such a, you know, it's a different kind of neighborhood in that next door could be a $500,000 condo.
Yeah.
And then right next door is Uncle Boo Boo's house, you know, and he's still, you know, hanging out on the porch and playing cards.
Yeah.
It's such a mixture of people. And when they have conversations and you walk through, if you get a chance to do that, what do they say to you?
Yeah, you know, they, you know, I think the folks who are new say to us they're concerned about some of the crime, some of the violence, some of the what have you. The older folk are more concerned about preservation, the history, sustainability, and of course they're concerned about the crime too. I think that I just think that it's just important that this community grows with a great deal of balance.
Yeah, most definitely. And since you have been involved in Mount Zion and in other city issues, you have become one of the voices that the folks here, the hierarchy, listen to. And I hope that they do pay attention, because you have the pulse of 30,000 people that you hear. When do you get to breathe? You know, Sheila K. want to know stuff.
Yes,
you know?
Lord. You know, somewhere between one interview to the next, one sermon to the next. But I really do have a great cutoff point, you know, in terms of my balance and family, because once I hit home, I'm home.
Yeah.
I leave that work at work, and you know, I've got two amazing kids, a beautiful wife, so I try to spend as much time as I can with them.
Well, and leaders that are effective and lead, and that's kind of what I'm alluding to.
Yeah.
Because your roles are very vast, not just locally, but also nationwide. When you do things and spend time, what does Bishop like to do? You like to cook, play tennis? What you do? Because,
yeah,
you know, I want to know stuff.
Play
you know?
Tennis. I'm from Louisiana, so I love to cook.
Okay, like what?
I experiment. I'm just going to say that.
Okay.
Most things I can.
You like seafood, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I make a pretty good salmon.
Oh.
So, yeah, I like to cook. I like to read. I like to work out. I like to go to comedy shows.
Do you?
Yeah. Oh, God.
You like to laugh.
I love to laugh.
It's Serious as Bishops are. They like to laugh.
You already know. I got to laugh. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. And I'm glad God gave us a sense of humor.
Yes, Lord.
Because some of this stuff out here is just off the wall. It is just off the wall.
All you can do is laugh.
Now, when culturally, your church has been innovative in several areas, in music and in praise and worship, and just a host and variety of things. Is there a point that people have said or whatever, they want you to get back to, you know, the old school ways or this or that? Has it ever come?
Yeah, I don't think it's come like that to go back to, because we've always tried to, again, you know, integrate those songs, that flavor in our ministry, because Bounce Out has always just been a balanced ministry. It's never been just, we was just so out there and innovative. We always sing a hymn on the first Sunday. We're teaching a whole new generation what the hymns are, and the choir sings balanced songs. So I've never had just a blatant, like, let's get back to the way it used to be. No, because we brought that along.
Yeah, that's good. And I'm going to hold you for a couple more minutes, and then I know you got a busy schedule. I'm just so, Lord, can I thank you now, Lord, that I was able to get some time with one of the busiest men working for the kingdom out here, celebrating 30 years at Mount Zion. That's a true miracle and blessing. So much has been transpiring in the community and within the church and the growth. And you have the three locations. And gentrification, as we were discussing earlier, you see it from three different areas of Nashville. Mm-hmm. Can you speak on that for a minute? Because those are important areas of black community.
Yeah, East Nashville, yeah. I know what you mean, North Nashville. I see it everywhere. I think, you know, I just think that, I'm, you know, because I'm a progressive person, because I think outside the box, I know how important it is for economic development to kind of reach our community. I just think that the community should have a voice in that and have a voice in what that looks like. And I think it's important to help our people become economically solvent so that they can participate in that versus just, you know.
Because Antioch.
Jeez.
That's another one. It seems like the black community of North Nashville was transplanted to Antioch. Was that part of the plan?
I don't really know, but it did happen. The Great Migration to Antioch and Lord Jesus, yeah. And then North Nashville to Bellevue. It's
That is just so interesting. I also see now Gallatin and areas near there also experiencing a lot of growth.
East Nashville, yeah, it really is. I've seen it. My niece stays out there, and I see it, and I don't recognize some of it, but I go over there, and I'm like, wow, this is really a cool area.
Yeah,
so
it is.
Can't fight that.
Well, what kind of challenges for you in your next 30 years at Mount Zion do you see?
Well, you know, I think it's more important than just where is the church, how does the church remain relevant? That's always a challenge, you know, because people won't see the church ever again the same way since the pandemic. Getting people to re-engage back to the physical location, knowing that, you know, we've done all the necessary things to make them safe.
So you all are back now?
Yeah.
100%?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we're back 100% mass required at this point, but you know, we're just, believing God, you know, that we could reset ministry and help people know that the church is not just a gathering place to praise God and shout, but to also address the economic disparities and financial disparities out there and help people live whole, complete lives. That's my goal.
Well, and knowing that's the case, aren't they questioning you and wondering about God, and if, you know, we had a pandemic, I mean, and then financial issues and all this, you know, there's got to be some questions in some people's mind, I know.
Yeah, yeah, and I think this is an opportunity for the church to represent God at its finest moment. If anybody should come to the pandemic, well, it should be God's church. And all the preaching, all the faith we have, you know, our church was blessed to, in the pandemic, to pay off all of our debt to become a debt-free church.
Oh, that's beautiful.
In a pandemic, you know?
That is beautiful.
It's just about people understanding our witness of the world.
Did people stay faithful to you?
Very much so. Not one thing fell off.
In all your online, they stayed right there?
Beyond.
Okay.
We developed virtual campuses in different cities.
Really?
Yeah, it's been amazing.
I had, I'm about to wrap, but I had in my pastor's roundtables and prior ones over the year, I've asked the question about what they have seen, what the pastors have seen in terms of the growth, or have they lost people as a result of people not physically? Because, you know, people are arguing and fighting over being inside the building now. You know that.
Correct.
So now, do you see it as they stayed faithful? They didn't have to have the building. They could have just heard you. I don't know. What is it?
Oh, gotcha. I think it's absolutely that. I think people realize the church was bigger than walls.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's important that people, they maintain that level of connectivity. That's the beauty of virtual.
Yeah.
You know, but also I think there's a place for gathering, as a place for not forsaking the assembling of yourselves.
Yeah.
Community matters. So I think people are kind of coming to a hybrid model going forward.
Amen. And Bishop, I want to ask you to close us up in a word of prayer. I sneak in my words of prayer from my pastors when I get them on. And we're going to, I'm just grateful for this segment to have during this Sunday morning for Nashville as they get ready to go to their houses of worship. Can you lift us up?
Yeah, Father, thank you for this wonderful opportunity today, and thank you for the blessing we have to share, and I thank you for all that you're doing in the lives of your people, and I pray your blessings be upon us today. Bless each person and bless their destiny, and I give you glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And Bishop Walker, to get your services, find out more about your ministry, best place.
Yeah, go to our website. That's mtzionnashville.org. That's mountzionnashville.org.
And that global family, you can do likewise.
There it is.
And thank you for your time. And
Jim, good 30 to see you.
You too. Good to be seen. God, I'm not playing. And Bishop, you've been a blessing and a joy and a pleasure to talk to whenever I'm able to get on your schedule.
You're very kind. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So we got started with that, and a lot of anniversaries and celebrations for churches and pastors during this month of April. Now, it is the 411 Show's annual Women at the Cross Palm Sunday broadcast, and I am very happy to welcome to the broadcast this morning Reverend Geneva Hall of the Good News Fellowship. Good morning, Pastor Hall.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm so happy to have you with us.
Well, I am happy to be alive and happy to be with you today.
Oh, yes.
And the listening audience.
Oh, yes. And they are mighty and wonderful people. They get up this
Praise
early.
God.
Yeah, they get up this early to be saying what we're talking about over here. Now, tell the audience, Pastor Hall, where Good News Fellowship is located.
Well, Good News Fellowship is located at 1901 10th Avenue North. And I want to tell everybody that has been here in Nashville for a while, and I hear some backup. Everyone that has been here in Nashville for a while, if you know where, if you're leaving Fizz, coming down to Buchanan Street on at 18. Everybody know where Ed's Fish. Turn right, go up to 10th, then you turn left and go down one block, and we're on the left, 10th and Coffee Street.
Okay.
We're in North Nashville.
Okay. So you...
Another way, we're between Clay and Buchanan Street.
Okay.
On 10th.
Okay. Now,
you can't miss us.
Are you having service today, Pastor Hall?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
We have service every Sunday. We were out on two Sundays for the, COVID-19.
Yes, ma'am.
But we have service every Sunday. Sunday school, 9:45, and 11 a.m. worship. We start at 11 a.m. sharp.
Okay. Excellent. And I do hope that if you're listening or new to Nashville, the neighborhood, that you will stop by the Good News Fellowship. And before I say good morning to Reverend Dr. Erica Barr, could you just give our audience just a sentence or two on, the background on Good News Fellowship? How long you've been there? When you started and all that?
We have been where we are right now. We started in October of 1988. We started out with a Bible study class. We started in North Nashville, teaching a Bible study. Our first Bible study subject was My Grace Is Sufficient. In other words, My Grace Is Enough For It. Mm-hmm. And we have found that to be true through the years. Mm-hmm. We started their teaching, and we were, at that time, we were licensed, and the Bible study grew so much, we were at 2428 Branch Street. Mm-hmm. And it grew so much, we had to start looking for a church. And our church started in 2003. Mm-hmm. My husband, the late Dr. Robert Hall, and I started the church, and we started in North Nashville, and then we moved because we were kind of like a mobile church in the beginning, but we started in 1989 officially as a church. The Good News Fellowship Church started then, and we moved for a while and from Eastland, then Zophie, just kind of moving around trying to get established and trying to find a building. So we found one, a building in 2004 that we found out a church, and we have been located at 1901 10th Avenue since then.
Okay.
So God has been, you know, faithful, and yes, He's been with us all the way.
Amen.
And we're still going on. 2015, the late Dr. Robert Hall went to be with the Lord, and I have been carrying on since then.
Oh, amen.
God has been really good to us.
Yes, He has. Well, we're glad that you have carried on. And,
oh yes,
most definitely. I'm happy to have you on today, and I know
Thank
I can
you.
Tell that you are a sweet pastor. I can tell. So
well,
I,
praise God.
Yeah. So if I ever meet you, I want a hug now. Okay.
I beg your pardon.
I said if I ever meet you, I want a hug.
Okay. All right.
Yes, ma'am. I do. I can tell. And
yes, we're still a little careful. We want to keep everybody well, but, you know, we bump elbows.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
We tell each other we love each
well,
other.
Well, you might not meet me till next year sometime, so praise.
Oh.
Yeah, I
then
just
we
don't
can get
know.
A great
yes, business. That's what I'm talking about. It might be in the future, but whatever it is,
yes.
That's what I have to plan my hugs. Anyway, let me welcome also to the broadcast this morning, Reverend Dr. Erica Barr, and Pastor Barr, I'm happy to have you with us today from Life Church International. And I haven't talked to you in a while. How have you been?
I have been wonderful, and I have just been enjoying the conversation and listening. And Lady Sharon, you are awesome at what you do. Thank you.
I appreciate that. Well, after all this time, I better be. I mean, I've been doing this for a long time. And, you know, by now, if I don't have it down, there's something wrong with me. Because you have been on in the studio during the Women at the Cross broadcast before. And this is the first time having you on over the phone. So, you know, I can't see you in person, and I can't see Pastor Hall in person, but I can tell already that this is going to be a beautiful broadcast. And tell our audience where Life Church International is and what time is the service for today.
Oh, well, good morning. Life Church International is located at 620 Brentwood East Drive, and that's in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's right across from the new Chick-fil-A and right across the street from Prince's Chicken that's off of Nolensville Road. And we're also associated with our Music City Soul Food. So if you are familiar, if you've been craving some good soul food, we open at 12 o'clock at the restaurant today. But the service is at 11 o'clock promptly. 10 o'clock promptly, and then we're out at 11:30.
Okay.
And so we just invite all of the community, and most people are familiar with us from the restaurant,
mm-hmm.
and then ask us, are you guys associated with the church next door? We say, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So we just want to invite all of Nashville to be there. Bishop Frederick Barr is the pastor, the bishop there, and we've been in ministry for almost 30 years now,
mm-hmm.
and so we're excited about what the Lord is doing. We started with the Pit Revival on 8th Avenue in Wedgwood many, many, many moons ago. And it grew from there, from street ministry to having an actual facility and then going into the communities, excuse me, and reaching those that are next-door neighbors and in the street. And that's how the Lord has used us in that capacity. And just thank you for the opportunity to share. We do appreciate the format that you provide us in the community. And thank you for being a staple in our community. Oh, yes. Thank you.
Yes. You know, I love the fact that Reverend Barr, you and Reverend Hall are nearby African-American soul food establishments, because see, that helps us all find you without a problem. We know where Ann's Fish is, neighborhood and community, and we also know where Princess Hot Chicken is. So I mean, y'all did it. I mean, that's all we need, and people will find you.
You say feed them and they will come, right?
Yes, yes, Lord. If you just, okay, they cross the street. Yeah, okay, they might take the corner. Oh, okay, yes. I mean, you would be amazed how many times that's helped folks out here, knowing that there's, go on the other side or nearby. Yeah, I can find that easy. Because Nashville has changed so dramatically.
Hasn't it?
Too much to a certain degree that it's just gone too far and lost all of its character, and that's really sad.
It really has.
And I know both of you all have been in neighborhoods and communities around Nashville, so you know good and well that things have changed to a certain degree. Hopefully it doesn't change the people from coming to participate in the services and your ministries and what both of you all are out there doing. Hopefully, Minister Hall, their people will still come by and see the Good News Fellowship Church on 10th Avenue North.
I hope so, because we getting ready for our program this coming Friday, if I may throw this in, the seven last words of Christ on Good Friday, and it starts at 12 noon. And we've been doing this about 25 years.
Okay, excellent. And I'm going to have you mention that again when we have our other church announcements. And also,
you too,
Reverend Erica, if you have any this week's church announcements, I'm going to have a segment coming up in about 20 or so minutes in the 8 o'clock hour where I'll let you all put your
thank you.
Yeah, of course. I'll put your church announcements
in. Because
I know on Sunday morning, that's important that the church announcements get out there. You know, I was raised in a church that, believe it or not, that if you didn't hear your church announcements, something was missing in the service. So,
that's right.
Y'all know old school.
Yeah.
Before everybody got all technology oriented, there was the ladies or gentlemen who would get up and read them and everybody say, write down a note or whatever they would do to support each other. And really, that's what this is all about. This is Women at the Cross. We're going to get to the topic in a moment. And also into the significance of this Holy Week that we are entering. Today is Palm Sunday, the significance of that. And we'll be discussing that. And hopefully, if you have a question or comment and you want to do it, our number is 615-329-8810. And let's take a time out, and we'll be right back.
Sharon K. Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810. 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon K is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
all of April, Jazz Night in America honors the latest class of NEA Jazz Masters. First up, singer-songwriter Cassandra Wilson.
What little moonlight can...
I love digging inside of a lyric and turning it and twisting it so that it has a certain effect on the listener and also an effect on me.
That's next time on Jazz Night in America. I'm Christian McBride. Catch Jazz Night in America every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m. and Wednesdays from 6 to 7 p.m. here at listener-supported Jazzy 88.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you in part by Mount Zion Baptist Church.
Mount Zion Baptist Church, Nashville, celebrates the 30th pastoral anniversary of Bishop Joseph W. Walker III for 30 years of leadership, love, and legacy. Celebrate with us in person or virtually via YouTube or Facebook Sunday, April 10th at 11:15 a.m. as we welcome gospel artist Kiara Sheard Kelly to our Old Hickory Boulevard location. For more details, please visit MountZionNashville.org. Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
I could have started on your side when I was over there talking, right? And right in here.
Yeah, you could have. Yeah.
I wanted to make sure, Pastor Barr, that I got your title correct. And you're co-pastor of Life Church International, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. All right. I wanted to make sure. I said, I think that's right. Let me, we were getting ready to ask you off the air, and I ran out of time, so I just, you know, confirm it now. anyway, having said
can
that,
can I ask her a question real quick?
Sure.
Pastor Barr, where do y'all get your wardrobe from, you and the bishop? Because you know, I see y'all.
Okay, you know, let's just put it this way: we're from Detroit, Michigan, so I think style is in our DNA. I just think, I don't know. Our parents eat style, I don't know. But we travel a lot, my husband does, and we actually get our wardrobe from all over the world. That's just true. He travels a lot, and that's, we're always looking for nice pieces, and we just, you know, we don't have children. The church is our child, but it's grown up now, so a lot of, you know, we travel a lot. But guess what we're doing? We're going to have we call it a spring cleaning, going to have like a massive sale of a lot of the clothes that I can't fit anymore.
Amen.
People call it get rid of that COVID 20, you know. but we're going to, yeah, get rid of a lot of stuff. And I told my husband, I said, this is some really high-end things, but we're going to, you know, let go of a lot of things. We'll announce that. We'll let the community know when that happens. So, but yeah, we got to make room for more.
Tell the bishop I want that crown that he wears from time to time. You know,
he don't need it. Because I have to tell your wife on you. I'm going to say, here he comes. He's going to have a crown.
Look, you know he'll come up in that station with that crown on.
No, that's one thing I do know. He will not, okay?
Lady K gonna put a stop to that one right there.
Well, see, I'm saying that works at your house, but you know, your wife is the one that, you know.
Oh my God!
Yes, yes, Lord. Yes, I mean, you know, I don't get that started, please, Lord. So no, eggs. When you get it, you keep it home, okay? Don't break no chain.
The bishop, he's not gonna give up that cross. That crown. I was joking. He is that. That's one thing. That's probably not gonna give away. He's not letting that go.
Well, I didn't want it to be in the back of your head. You know, you just keep wearing your ABC Baptist College outfits and all that other. But don't come up in here like that. Now, because that'd be too much for me. Yeah, I had to get my church fan out. Family Jesus, I was too much alone. Anyway, having said that, Reverend Hall, the And we do have a few light moments here on the broadcast.
Mm-hmm. Oh, let me give equal time to Pastor Hall, because I did know her husband. He was a tremendous man of God.
Yes, he was.
And gave me an opportunity to speak at his church a few times. And so, during those seven last words, so I just wanted to acknowledge him.
When was the last time?
Oh, it's been years.
Oh, okay.
But I'm just saying, I wanted to acknowledge him because we were neighbors. I live right around the corner from that church.
Oh, did you?
And so I see them almost every day.
Okay.
So I just wanted to acknowledge Pastor Hall as well.
He was. He and his wife lived around the corner from me.
All right. Yeah. Yes, and I would also just like to say, because I praise God for this, that I am also Dr. Geneva Hall.
Oh, okay. We need to clear the air, y'all. Dr. Hall and Dr. Barr. Okay.
Yes.
Now.
Okay.
Because that's why I always like to have
the doctors are in the house.
Yes. That's why I always like to have
praise
books in the title.
Yes. And I mention that only because, you know, God has, you know, been so good to me. Yes. You know, and I have, coming from the country, and he's brought me from there to the, you know, to the classroom, to the pulpit, and God is doing other things and continue. I have vision of things that he's going to do. Mm-hmm. I'll be writing, and, you know, he's just an awesome God.
Well, let me ask you this, Dr. Hall, and since...
Yes.
You have been at the ministry in multiple capacities. Were there challenges? I know your husband was the pastor there, and then you took over after his going home to the Lord. Did you see times that a woman's pastoral presence wasn't welcome, or have you always had a good experience because you were the wife of the pastor of the church?
The roles changed completely. You know, very much accepted as long as my husband was living. But when he went to be with the Lord, there was a change, which made me think, you know, are people worshiping God or are they worshiping man? Because after my husband passed, you know, there were people that just, you know, went other places, and I couldn't understand that, because, you know, when we kind of co-pastored, and my husband preached a Sunday, we would alternate preaching, and it seemed like everybody accepted me, but you would really get to know people when you have some change in the church.
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh, so... but I had to pray about it, because some would even say why they would just, would notice, and they would just be gone somewhere else. Mm-hmm. But it was a lot of change.
Yeah. Did you see that, or did you notice that change also with the men that were pastors? Did they... was it a similar type of situation where they may not have respected your ability to be able to do what the Lord sent you to do?
Yeah, you know, I saw that, and it's kind of like you have to reestablish yourself. Mm-hmm. There's someone always, you know, trying to challenge, and sometimes there were... It's sad to say, but there would be people on the inside. You would think if this was going to happen, it would be from the outside in.
Yes, yes.
But, yeah, it's from the inside, you know, kind of working out. And I know that God has me here to, you know, to pastor the church. And you spend so much time, you know, because, you know, when there's something wrong, you know, spending time calling in. And it was mostly, I would say mostly men, and the women, it was also the women, but they were not, I would say good at tithing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But now, you know, it's safe.
Go ahead. What were you going to say?
You would always, were you talking to me, Dr.
Yes,
Bob?
I was talking to you to finish your sentence.
Yes, okay. But it was all there. And it's still not gone. You know, he passed in May 15, 2015. Mm-hmm. And we still have, you know, still have some problems. But, you know, sometimes you just have to, I have to do a lot of praying. Mm-hmm. And always have to do that. But that's because you don't want people, you know, when you have to talk to them, they have a tendency to, you know, they want to leave and go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sometimes think and making you think because you talk to them, you know, but it was always there, mm-hmm. something on the line. Mm-hmm. So it really makes a difference. Because if my husband was still here,
yes.
you know, there were times I would say, you can, as the assistant pastor, you know, co-pastor, from assistant to co-pastor, there were times I would say to him, you know, when people in the church, if I were you, I would do this, mm-hmm. you know, or I would do that. But now that I'm pastor, now I can see why he held, you know, things the way he did. Mm-hmm. But he was, and see, there's a difference in personality. Mm-hmm. My husband, the late Dr. Robin Hall, he was one that was always so friendly, and I know Elder Lawson knows this, smiling all the time, mm-hmm. and always had a good joke, you know, a good, clean joke for people, and just smiling. Mm-hmm. And and I'm more of a laid-back person. Mm-hmm. So I realized they had to deal with the change, and we don't like change.
Oh, man.
Whether it's in the church or other places.
Yeah, no.
So they had to deal with that change.
Yeah.
And I understand that, and I try to be patient
yeah.
and just seek the Lord always as yes. to how to do things.
Absolutely. So, Reverend Dr. Barr, when we come back, I want you to respond to that as well, because I know you have your share of stories that you have endured over the years in terms of that. Because that always has to be, you know, something, because we still need to address those issues as the body of yes. Christ. And because the Lord can certainly has and will call women to
yeah.
do the job. We were at the cross. Okay, mm-hmm. now, that's what I'm just reminding folk out there. We were at the cross in Jesus' ministry, and that's why we're talking about it today. To the bitter end, women were. This is the Palm Sunday Women at the Cross 411 Show's annual broadcast, and I'll reintroduce the guests and get us into that subject matter. But first, let's take this time out, and we'll be right back.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay?